Today we're going to talk about devoted to the truth and contaminated truth. If you still remember, that's the exact topic that we talked about last week. If you have your Bible with you, can you open it up to 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. Once again, if you have your Bible with you, open it up to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. We're going to read that out together a little bit later. I don't know about you, but this week, just being honest, as I prepare the message for this Sunday, I've been very troubled with the bombing that happened in Indonesia last week. I guess I'm kind of hoping everybody know, but in case you don't know, the past week there have been multiple suicide bombing in Indonesia. The suicide bomber targeted churches, police station, and if I'm not mistaken, one bomb actually exploded in a bomber apartment complex, Rumah Susun. Maybe before I continue, is there anyone that is kind of impacted by this incident personally? Your family, maybe your friends? No? Okay. I'm very troubled by it, and it become worse after knowing that in several cases the suicide bomber actually brought his or her own children while doing it. We're talking about little children. In my mind, I kept asking, what were they thinking? I mean, who will do such thing? Why they think that killing people, using a bomb, and bringing your children while you are doing it, while you are at it, is the right thing to do? I'm honestly speechless, and I'm just lost in my own thoughts. And another thing that troubled me is, as well, I'm pretty sure the suicide bombers believe what they did was the right thing to do. It's kind of trouble me. I believe they believe that what they did is the right thing to do. I believe they thought what they did was the noble thing to do. I believe what they did, according to them, is according to the truth. People act based on their belief. And I believe whatever they believe in, their action is based on their truth. I'm pretty sure they think they did the right thing. Our action is based on our belief. Our action is based on our belief. So if I ask you today, does it matter to believe the right thing? If I ask you today, does it matter to find the truth? If I ask you today, does it matter to believe the truth? If our action is based on our belief, does it matter to believe on the right thing? Does it matter to believe the truth? Does truth matters? I hope you say yes. What is truth? In the Greek word, truth is aletheia, which means to make it not hidden, which means not to hide anything, which means to express something as it is. Truth is not opinion of the majority, because even though a lot of people believe something truth, they can be wrong. Truth is not defined by motivations. No matter how pure the motivation is, no matter how noble the motivation is, a lie is still a lie. White lie is still a lie. Truth is not what makes a person feel good or comfortable, because we learned last week a lot of times truth can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Truth is not about how long or how detailed the theory is. Truth is not always something that is reasonable, because there are many things that make sense or seems logical, but not the truth. Not everyone likes the truth, because sometimes the truth could be bitter, truth could be unpleasant, surprising, and limiting. But I think for a lot of us today, people in the 21st century, 2018, I think for most people today, our problem is that we just do not care enough about the truth. We are not interested to search for it. We're just being ignorant. Facing the facts, we are bombarded with a lot of information within seconds. We are bombarded with images, videos, tweets, news feeds within seconds. And honestly, to filter all those informations, separating the facts and the false one, the hoax and the truth, is such a troublesome and lengthy process. I have to be honest with you, it's tiring, and a lot of time I just choose to be ignorant. Is that a good response? Is that a good reaction? Of course not. If truth matters, which it does, I think it's worth our time to invest our time to search for it. If truth matters, which I believe it is, I think it is worth our effort to be interested in it and to search for it. So I want to read a couple of verses together with you. This is the exact same verses we read last week. We're going to read it together. I'm going to read the even verses, and I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses. Okay? I'm going to read the even. I'm going to ask you to read the odd. So that everyone is reading the same thing, just read whatever that I show in the front. All right? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. Your turn. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. Last week, we read the same passage, and we touched base a little bit. We discussed a little bit about the Antichrist, how the Antichrist might not be as obvious as we want him to be. He most likely didn't come with a scary face, with a pitchfork and a horn on his head. The Antichrist come a little bit more subtle. John, through this epistle, kind of warned us, the church, that the Antichrist most likely going to come and went out from us, meaning from the church. Meaning the Antichrist might be a churchgoer. He might be a well-behaved man or woman. The Antichrist might be very knowledgeable about the Bible. But regardless of the positive attribute of the Antichrist is still the Antichrist. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belong to us. John reminded the church that even though the Antichrist used to be part of us, but they actually didn't belong to us. John also warned the church that no lies come from the truth. John associated the Antichrist as the liar. The Antichrist possesses knowledge, but his knowledge is not the truth. The Antichrist believed in lies and spread lies to the church. Jesus warned his church in Matthew 24 that in the last day, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. In Matthew 24, verse 24, once again Jesus says, for false messiah and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonder to deceive in the last days. The big word days is lies and deceive. We live in the last days, church. In the last days, there will be a high increase of deceptions. There will be a high increase of lies going around among us. So I think today it is very appropriate for us, the church, to learn about what is the truth. Today is Pentecost. Today we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how God outpoured the Holy Spirit to his first disciples. One of the greatest gifts and the role of the Holy Spirit in us, that he will lead us to the truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. So I think it is appropriate for us to talk about what is the truth. I think it is very appropriate to talk about, to discuss what is the rule, the real truth is. The truth that the Holy Spirit will guide us to. The real truth that so that you, his sheep, his children, are not easily led astray by the Antichrist. I was born and raised in Indonesia, which is obvious. And one thing that the school in Indonesia taught me, ever since I am still very young, I don't remember exactly, probably kindergarten or elementary school, but one thing they always taught me is about tolerance. Tolerance, tolerance, and tolerance. Indonesia has many different cultures, has many different races, languages, and since every young, the teachers taught me tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. But I guess because of my limited brain space back then, when I was young, I think I have a wrong understanding about tolerance. Back then, I believe tolerance means accepting everything as the truth. Back then, I believe tolerance means accepting everything as the truth. I wish I can find a better example, but I cannot, so forgive me if I offend anyone. Back then in Indonesia, when I was in elementary school, there are 5 major religions that was recognized by the country, by the government. Since all of them teach about God and heaven, in my mind, I believe there are at least 5 gods. Even though each one teach, there's only one God. Ketuhanan yang Maha Esa, right? All religion believe there's one, teach there's one God. But because there are 5 major religions, I believe there are at least 5 gods. Hey, tolerance. If each one is telling the truth, then all of them has to be the truth. I think there were at least 5 heavens, probably 5 hell. But interestingly enough, I did not think there are 5 different evil groups. 5 different setan, gitu maksudnya. Somehow I believe the evil just combine their power together, not separated by religion. Anyway, for me back then, that's what tolerance means. Something can be true for me and not for you, and it's okay. Something can be true for you and not for me, and that's okay. It's the truth. But is that what tolerance is all about? Is tolerance means acceptance? Is tolerance means that truth is relative? Something can be true for you but not for me without any further explanation, and it's okay. I believe with my bigger brain space now, I believe relativism is not the same as tolerance. Tolerance means respecting others who are different from you. Tolerance means that we do not make fun, we do not bully, we do not ridicule those who might believe in something that is different from us. I believe tolerance is respecting others, respecting a person, and valuing a person as a person, regardless of their belief. Meaning, we can disagree on something, but we should still respect, we should still honor, and not look down, not make fun, and bully others when they are different. Is that possible? I believe so. It's probably not as straightforward as we want to be, but I believe tolerance is possible. Truth is not relative. Truth is not relative. If one say that truth is relative, if this statement is true, that truth is relative, then is that statement the truth? If it's not the truth, why even consider it? If that statement is the truth, that the truth is relative, then the statement itself is also relative. If that statement itself is relative, is the statement the truth or relative? To who is this statement true? To whom is this statement relative? When and where is this statement true? When and where is this statement relative? I hope I twisted your brain enough. But the truth is never relative. The truth is not relative. It is absolute. What is relative are the persons with the truth. Most people who say that truth is relative believe so that they can have an excuse to do whatever they want without being limited by the moral law. A lot of people believe that truth is relative because they are too lazy and they are too ignorant to figure out, to search what is the real truth. The truth is not relative. Truth is always absolute. Truth is like an anchor. It is an unchanging reference in a very changing world. Truth should not be affected by anything. Truth is independent of time, independent of place, independent of culture. Truth is an unmovable foundation. Truth is not hiding things. Truth is to show things as the way it is. And this book, the Bible, it contains a lot of truth. But one of the greatest truths that this book trying to convey to us is this, that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself, died for our sin and rose again so that we may receive eternal life. For Jesus Christ has conquered our final enemy, death. That has no power over us. In Jesus Christ, we have no more condemnations, but the everlasting confidence in our salvation in Jesus Christ. I think that's one of the greatest truths that this book conveys. We just read this, who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Who is the liar? It whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. One of the most simplest way to test or to know whether a teaching, whether a movement is true or not, is to test their belief on who Jesus actually is. One of the characteristics of doctrine that deviates from the truth is that it denies that Jesus is Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. Ever since Jesus was present on this earth, when He was roaming around on this earth teaching, a lot of people already confused about His identity. A lot of people think that He was just a prophet. He was a good teacher. Some people think He was John the Baptist. He was Elijah. Until now, until today, there are still many opinions about who actually Jesus is. Some consider Him as a good spiritual leader. Some consider Him as a wonderful prophet. Some consider Him as a powerful world leader, revolutionist, and so on and so forth. Books were written about Jesus, about His leadership style, about His leadership method, and how fruitful that is. Many people respect Him. Many people did not deny His existence. There are even some religions use the Bible as one of its guides. However, they only consider Jesus as human being. If you admire Jesus, His character, that's great, but the truth is He is so much more than that. If you admire His charisma, that's great, but Jesus is so much more than that. If you admire His leadership style, that's good. But once again, He's so much more than a human being. He's so much more than that. The truth is Jesus is the Christ, Messiah, Son of God, God Himself. Matthew 16:16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So my question to you is, if we want to talk about the truth, how do we know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the truth? How do we know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the truth? How do we know that Jesus is God, is the truth? This statement is true not because I say so, not because your pastor say so, not because someone that is knowledgeable say so. The truth is, this statement is a fact, regardless of who believe, regardless of who support it. So my question to you today, how do we know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the truth? First of all, how do we know Jesus the Messiah is the truth? Jesus is not a myth. Jesus is not a myth. It's not like Zeus, it's not like Apollos, it's not like Athena. Historical record shows that there was a man 2,000 years ago roaming around on this earth, and his name is Jesus. Historical record also showed that there was a man 2,000 years ago that was a great teacher and a great rabbi, and his name is Jesus. Historical record also showed that there was a man 2,000 years ago that was a great healer, and his name is Jesus. One of the historical records that I'm referring to is the New Testament. The New Testament is not a folklore, it's not a fiction novel. These books, the writing, the gospels, the letters in the New Testament, we can consider them as a New Testament. They can get into the Bible because they are considered an eyewitness testimony. If you treat the New Testament just like any other historical documents, the New Testament went through a very rigorous evaluations. They evaluate the culture, they evaluate the political situations, they evaluate the all other things that is described in the Bible, and they found out that the description is matching up with other historical documents back then. The New Testament was constructed by more than 5,000 manuscripts that was written on different times. Some are partial, some is complete. Compared to any other historical documents that kept record of an event that is that old, the Bible has the most number of supporting documents. And if you compare the oldest manuscript to the newest, you will find out that the discrepancy is very minor. The difference is very minor. In other words, the text that we have right now in your Bible in the New Testament is pretty close to what the original is. Don't get me wrong, there are some discrepancies, but mostly it's just different spelling, grammatical error, substituting one word with another. But at the end of the day, nothing very crucial that can cause theological confusions or lead to a different meaning. If you treat the New Testament just like any historical documents, it is trustworthy. You can trust it. New Testament is consistent, it's reliable, it is written by eyewitness account. What happened, who heard about Jesus, what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago, they write it down in the New Testament. The eyewitness that we mentioned is all Christians, yes. Those who wrote the New Testament is all Christians. If you have questions, if they were all Christians, then it didn't count. What if they want to deceive many? What if they want to lie? What if they collaborate between one another and they lie to us? Well, it is unlikely that they lie. There were a lot of instances where the writer of the New Testament were given opportunity to deny their claim. They were given opportunity, either you deny your claim or you die, and they choose to die. If you read the book of Acts, you see how the first church lived. There is not so much gain in being Christian back then. There is no financial gain. There is no political gain. There is no power gain. They didn't get anything out of being a Christian and spreading the gospel. But regardless of all that, they keep spreading the gospel. Why? Because that is the truth. But of course, other than the New Testament, there are other historical documents that support the existence of Jesus. The writing of Josephus. Josephus is a Jewish historian. He wrote about Jesus. Talmud. Talmud is a Hebrew meaning about learning and instructions. It's a text that is kept by Judaism. And Talmud also wrote about Jesus. A historian Roman by the name of Tacitus, he also wrote about Jesus. Even Muhammad, he wrote about Jesus. The existence of Jesus, the historical figure of Jesus, is not a mere truth for me and not for you. No one can actually deny that the historical Jesus is actually exists. Good. If you can agree with me that he actually exists, that's great. But the other thing that I want to convey to you that he's not just exists, but he actually God himself. that Jesus actually Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. How do we know that Jesus is Christ? How do we know that Jesus is the Messiah, is the truth? As I mentioned before, the writing that we read in the New Testament is a writing of an eyewitness testimony. They wrote it down. Meaning, if you open up your Bible and you open the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see a red letters, a red sentence, that indicates word that Jesus actually say. Meaning, if you open your Bible, that indicates the word, the sentence that Jesus said 2,000 years ago. The red sentence are sentences which the eyewitness heard. There might be a rephrase, but fundamentally the same meaning. So how can we believe that Jesus is actually Christ, the Messiah, God, God Himself? I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, because His word implied that He is God. The God label is not a label that is put by the disciples, the church fathers. The label of God is Jesus put on Himself. John 8:58-59, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. This encounter is just a little bit of context. This is when Jesus have a friendly conversations with the Pharisees. A very interesting verse. Before Abraham was born, past tense, I am, present tense. It's a lousy grammar, but it's a truth. What Jesus is trying to say is, before Abraham was, I already exist. Every time I read this verse, I remember the time Moses asked God about God's identity. Moses said, if I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? And God answered Moses, I am who I am. A similar I am is being used by Jesus. I am that indicates that no other things can explain His existence. I am that indicates that He is not bound with time and space. I am that indicates that He is not created but a creator. After hearing Jesus' answers, before Abraham was born, I am. The Pharisees, hearing this, they pick up stones to stone Him. Why? If the answer is just a regular answer, why do they want to stone Him? Because the answer is, because it's not some regular answer. The Pharisees completely understand what Jesus is saying. The Pharisees completely understand that Jesus identifying Himself as God. And because He identifies Himself as God, it's considered blasphemy in Judaism. And because of that, they want to stone Jesus to death. They understand exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus is identifying Himself as God. So I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. Because His word implied that He Himself is God. How do I know that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, God Himself? Because He said He is the Messiah. Messiah is a figure that's been long prophesied in the Old Testament. The people of Israel, they're expecting the coming of Messiah. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament talking about the Messiah. And if you do Google search about prophecy in the Old Testament about Messiah, you will figure out by reading the descriptions, by reading the verses in the Old Testament, that the Messiah that they were expecting is not just some regular person, it's not just a hero, it's not just a man, but the descriptions clearly identify that the Messiah is coming, is going to be God. Jeremiah 23:6, in His days Judah will be saved, Israel will live in safety. That's a description of the coming of Messiah. This is the name by which He will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. The Messiah will be called the Lord, our righteous Savior. The Messiah is not just some regular dude. It's going to be God. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, through you are small among the clan of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler of Israel. That's a prophecy of Messiah. We usually read that close to Christmas time. And then the continuations of that verse is this, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Ancient times is not talking about some old person. Ancient time is a phrase that was used to talk about eternity. who exists from eternity is only God. Old Testament consists of many prophecies, not just two, talking about Messiah. In history, there are a lot of people claiming himself to be Messiah, but only Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the Old Testament. I believe that Jesus is Christ. I believe he is the Messiah. I believe he's Son of God, God himself, because he said so. Because he said he is the Messiah and he fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. I believe Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself, because he called himself God. Because he called himself God. In another friendly conversations between Jesus and the Pharisees, Jesus said, I and God the Father are one. I and God the Father are one. By saying that, basically he's saying that I am a perfect union with God the Father. If the Father is God, that means Jesus is also God. Same thing as before, the Pharisees understand exactly what Jesus is saying. That's why their response is, after hearing that, we're not stoning you for any good work, but for blasphemy, because you, mere a man, claim to be God. They understand what Jesus means exactly. Jesus, once again, claimed himself to be God. And to do that is considered blasphemy, and the punishment is to be stoned by death. So I believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, God himself, because he said he's the Messiah, because his word implied that he's the Messiah, and lastly, because he called himself God. Well, time out. So are you telling me that we should believe that he is God because he said so? Are you telling me that we should believe that he is God based on his own words? So why should not we believe on other people out there that they are claiming to be God? Jesus is not the only person that claimed himself to be God. Why Jesus? Why not the others? Before you go crazy and on me and stone me, hear my explanation. I have two daughters. Kylie is 5, Ella is 9 months. One thing that I learned about being a dad is your child has a complete trust on you. Whatever you say, now more than ever, they will hold that as the truth. They will hold that as the truth. And Coronaldi mentioned last week, a child is a child. Sometimes they don't want to eat vegetables and all that. And to be honest with you, they just want to have fun. A lot of time, they don't want to do what they're supposed to do. And the easiest way to have them do what they're supposed to do, the easiest way to make them do the right thing is to tell a white lie. Some parents say this: if you eat enough vegetables, your body makes them taste like candy. We got our daughter to eat fish by calling it Argentinian chicken. White lie. A lot of time those white lie, you guys know white lie, right? Nobody's harm, it's a good intention, it's a good motivation. A lot of time the easiest way to make them do what they're supposed to do is to tell white lie. But there's a big flip side of that. White lie can produce the result, the behavior that you want. But if your child catch you that you are lying, the full trust, the complete trust that he or she given you will crumble down. If they catch you that you are lying, once you betray their trust, it'll be very hard to get it back. I'm using parenting as an illustration to lighten up the mood, but I think in general, the same principle applies almost everywhere. Dating, friendship, parenting, employee, employer, a lot of other things. You can do 99 things right, but what people remember will be the one thing that you do wrong. That sounds very harsh, but unfortunately, in the back of my mind, we have that thought and perspective. So why am I telling you all this? I told you before that Jesus is God because he said so. I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, because he called himself the Messiah. I told you before that I believe that Jesus is God because he called himself God. I believe all that just based on his words. And I'm telling you today, we can trust on his words, we can count on his words, because he is a perfect moral being. He never lied. White lie, black lie, he didn't do that. He never take advantage of people. He is a perfect moral being, meaning that we can trust him. If there's a person out there claiming himself to be God, I will evaluate his life, and I'm pretty sure that person is not perfect. Only Jesus claimed himself to be God and backed it up by his own life. That's why it is very interesting today, if you read the Da Vinci Code and all those conspiracy theories, what they are trying to attack is the full perfectness morality of Jesus. Because once we question his perfect morality, Jesus cheat. Jesus sleep with Mary Magdalene. When we start questioning his morality, all his claim will be false. But once again, I'm telling you today, we can count on his words, we can trust his words, because he show a perfect life. He never lie, he's trustworthy, and we have the record to prove it. And of course, the most important thing, when he says something, he fulfills it. When he says he's going to do something, he's doing it. Whatever he promised, he fulfills. Lastly, why I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself. Hey, if anyone on this earth, in history, in the past, in the present or in the future, if that person can predict his own death and fulfill it, and that person can predict his own resurrection and fulfill it, I don't care what other people say, that person is God. And if that person is God, we should believe whatever that person say, teach and command us to do. Unfortunately, so far, only Jesus fulfill that. Christianity is a religion of salvation, not of worldly happiness. Jesus is my Savior, not my religion. Knowing the truth about Jesus is important because he's the only one that can save us. I don't care if you are a very religious person, you fast, you pray, you go to church every day, you abstain yourself from any worldly desire. What you did was good, but only Jesus can save you from eternal death, from despair, from hopelessness, from struggle, from whatever that you need to be saved from. Only Jesus can do that. Only by believing that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God himself, we can be saved from eternal death, from despair, hopelessness, or anything that we need to be saved from. Jesus is Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God, God himself. As I close, can I have the musicians maybe to come forward and help me out? Everyone needs to believe in something. Whether you want it or not, you believe in something. I'm here today to question your belief. Yes, you heard that right. I'm here today to question your belief. And I do want to challenge you in examining yourself, in asking yourself why you believe in what you believe in. Do you believe because of family tradition? Do you believe because out of obedience of your parents? Do you believe because of your spouse? Do you believe because of your friends? Do you believe because of peer pressure? Whatever you believe in, I challenge you today to make your faith your own faith. I challenge you today to find answer to any personal doubt that you might have. And let your faith be your personal faith. Like what I said, today is Pentecost. And the greatest gift the Holy Spirit gave to us, that He is going to lead us into all truth. And I pray today, as we celebrate Pentecost, that in whatever stage of faith you are in right now, that the Holy Spirit will lead you into one of the greatest truths that I know, that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. I came to that conclusion, where I believe with all my heart, my mind, and my soul. How about you? How about you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Is He a good person? Hey, that's great. Is He a good teacher? Good. Is He a good rabbi? Yes, He is. But once again, He is so much more than that. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, God Himself. I invite everybody to stand up. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for today, that we can talk, we can discuss a little bit about the truth. One of the greatest truths that your Bible, the Word of God, convey to us. Father God, I pray in whatever stage of faith we are in right now, whether we have a personal doubt, whether we are still doubting, we are still unbelief, but Lord, I pray let your Holy Spirit alone lead us to that truth. Father God, I pray that you open up our eyes, you open up our ears, and you open up our heart, and let us see clearly that indeed, Jesus, you are Christ, you are Messiah, you are Son of God, God Himself. And we honor you today. Thank you, Lord.